Welcome to another episode of the Identity Theft Warriors, your frontline defense against identity theft. We're all about prevention. To find out more, go to keepmyid.org. Use the code FSN2 and you can get started now. Welcome. You are listening to the Identity Theft Warriors. I'm Kerry Lutz, and there's been no shortage of stories about identity theft taking place recently, whether it's Office of Personnel Management or FBI, Homeland Security. There seems to be no end in sight to the breaches taking place. IRS breaches seem to be commonplace. And got a new expert on the show. His name is Morgan Wright. Morgan, you're an internationally recognized authority on cyber terrorism, cybersecurity, identity theft, and a former law enforcement officer, and you've trained over 2,000 law enforcement officers to investigate computer crime, and you know, you're at the top of your game here, and we're really happy to have you on the show.
Hey, Kerry, thanks a lot, man. You know, in the pre-talk we were talking, we obviously have a lot in common, but you're absolutely right. This is one of the most, not only interesting areas, but I think probably one of the most uninformed areas people really need to know about. So, hey, thanks for having me on today, and I know we'll have a lot of fun.
Pleasure. So, I recently had on a guy, a world-leading cryptographer, and in addition to all the identity theft problems that having all over the place. He's talking about these new electronic payment systems and the potential payoff for hackers or cyber criminals to penetrate them, to identify their weaknesses, said, and the also the virtual absence of any chance of being prosecuted.
But right.
It seems like we're in a world here of vulnerabilities on the computer. It's obviously internet and everything's done incredible things, but this seems to be the dark underside of universal internet connectivity.
Boy, is it. You know, and I'm going to date myself here, but about 14 years ago, I wrote two chapters in the fourth edition Computer Security Handbook, and one was called Working with Law Enforcement. And even back then, I talked about how difficult it was to conduct investigations of people overseas in countries that we had no mutual legal assistance treaty with, what were called MLATs. We had no legal attaché presence, which the FBI handles. I mean, we just had no way of reaching out and touching those. Proof, you know, case in point, Edward Snowden. In Russia, no legal way to get him out of Russia back to the United States. Whether you agree with it or not, it's irrelevant. What's relevant is that whether it's Russia or some of these East Africa countries or Eastern European countries, Middle East, we can't investigate because we don't have access and we can't get the people. So they basically, like you say, the soft underbelly, you know, where things are really happening are happening in countries where we cannot, as they say, reach out and touch someone.
And this is only going to come back and bite those countries too, because, right, they're going to get penetrated. Their networks are getting penetrated. Their banks were robbed. I mean, we had that incident where it was mainly more social engineering than hacking, where $1 billion got stolen from banks across the world, including China and Russia's banks. So they should really be thinking, for the sake of their own survival here, really getting on the bandwagon here, because I would think here, Morgan, as computers get more and more powerful, processor speeds go up, and the tools to exploit the increased power, it's going to be easier and easier to do this.
Well, I'll tell you, it already is easy to do it, and I'll tell you why, because people keep doing the same stupid things in 2016 they did in 2015. I mean, you can build the Great Wall of China, but if you give people the keys to the doors between each side and don't tell them how to use it, what to do, if you don't keep training your people, you know, you can build all you want. And I'll tell you, you were just talking about that ATM heist. I actually was on Fox News talking about it, the $1 billion bank heist. Guess what, though? Just happened recently. Actually, it's funny you should mention that. I just bookmarked the article as today as we were before we got on the show. Doing my research, hackers caused the Russian ruble to swing 15% in minutes by hacking a bank with a newly discovered and highly capable malware. It's called Metal, M-E-T-E-L. We are now affecting markets in the hundreds of millions of dollars simply through a piece of software.
Billions, potentially trillions.
Yep.
And hey, I know that guy that I had on, a world-known cryptographer, PhD in cryptography, really amazing guy, and I will tell you his name as soon as I look it up. It's Carsten Knoll. And the digital payment systems, his feeling is, well, they just want to steal money. They don't really want to bring the system down. I think there's anarchists out there, correct me if I'm wrong, Morgan, who would love nothing better than to than to drive a major bank offline for a couple of days, or knock out a stock market, or Absolutely. A government network, and do immeasurable harm. I mean, imagine if the New York Stock Exchange couldn't get their market running for a week. I mean, it's billions and billions of dollars worth of damage and major bragging rights for the guys who did it.
Oh, absolutely. We saw what happened after 9/11 when the market shut down. You know, it just wasn't the buildings coming down and all that tragic loss of life. And I'll tell you that, I mean, I was in the Reagan building that morning, and I was supposed to be in the Pentagon. Actually, our meetings got reversed. So, you know, this is something that's been very personal, but you're exactly right what you talk about. I mean, you now have the capability at will, and you don't even have to be there. You have the capability at will, not to just steal, but to cause havoc, to cause destruction, potentially cause loss of life. When we start looking at the black energy malware, the things that can take power grids offline happened in the Ukraine. So yeah, this, and then you have the philosophy of the groups that are doing it. Some simply want to steal the money, and that's organized crime. Those are criminals. They're in it for the money. They don't want to kill the golden goose because they're after the money. Then you get the hacktivist groups, the folks like Anonymous, who have social ends, social goals that they're trying to achieve. So for them, taking banks offline, going after, quote, the man, going after what they call, you know, financial regimes. Yes, that is a true badge of honor for them to be able to take. For example, when JP Morgan got hacked, it wasn't, it was more probably organized crime, you know, some former Intel people, but that affected 76 million consumers, 7 million small businesses. I mean, the scale of this, I mean, just first it was the breach, then it was the mega breach, then it was the mega, mega breach. How many millions of records are going to get breached this year just when you thought it was over? When you thought it was safe to go back in the water, it's not.
Yeah. Oh, it's you're so spot on with that. And yeah, you can't just look at people being economically motivated because terrorists are ideologically, at least in theory, might be mm-hmm. religiously motivated ideologically, or they're motivated by ideas. And the idea of harming your enemy, your perceived enemy, by inflicting financial harm. I mean, yeah, the World Trade Centers was estimated the economic damages to the country somewhere around $1 trillion, and the buildings right. were the least of it in some respects. So yeah, what is that, $5 billion, $10 billion they spent replacing it all and making them better than ever? But the financial damage, right. markets being shut down, companies not being able to transact business, in the trillions.
Well, and look, you hit upon something key too. One of the things I was on the news talking about, and it just infuriated me. When I do a lot of stuff for the media, but I'm not a political analyst, I stay out of the politics. My thing is, I tell them it's not about R's and D's, it's about ones and zeros. We talked about the CENTCOM hack when they took over the Twitter account and the YouTube account. I actually was down at CENTCOM, received classified briefings before the Republican National Convention. I was the senior law enforcement advisor. I mean, I went down there, met them guys, you know, in the room where they launched the Operation Neptune Spear, the operation to catch kill Bin Laden, SEAL Team 6. So I actually got to be in the room where they gave the order. I mean, all this history, and I'm thinking, wow, this is cool. Then I realize somebody was using a personal account to manage Twitter and YouTube. It got compromised, probably through a phishing or a spear phishing attack. They got their credentials, and then guess what? They achieved, to your point, their political end. And how did they achieve it, their ideological end? By taking over the social media accounts, spreading propaganda. And I told people it's irrelevant whether they, quote, breached CENTCOM. They didn't. There are no classified systems breach. 97% of the world's believe they hacked CENTCOM. But as I said on the segment, you've just now given a rocket launcher to a guy who was previously armed with a slingshot. If people don't think their username and password are important, if you don't think that these things that personally identify you are the keys to the kingdom, the most valuable thing you have, I will tell you that that one hack alone of the social media accounts, where they're able to put up propaganda that said, go out and kill the police officers, the soldiers, the intelligence analysts, you know, their spouses. That was a huge terrorist threat, and you ought to take it for what it is. And it all goes back to basic things like username, password, protect your identity. And we just, you know, we forgot to do training. Training is like bathing. Neither one is permanent. You just can't say, hey, we've done our yearly training. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, yearly training. It's got to be happening all the time. So is biometrics going to save us here, Morgan, or are we just screwed?
Well, until we're taken over by, you know, Skynet, you know, and the robots and, yeah. you know, all the, you know, all the folks that, you know, all the automated robots. But, you know, biometrics, again, it's not a silver bullet. It's not a panacea for everything. It is another layer. So, you know, what we want to do is just like going out in the cold. You and I were talking about how cold it is. We just had 3.5 feet of snow where I'm at. Now we're getting snowed on again. So when you go out in layers. Well, your security should be the same way. It should be in layers. If you get through one layer, then you've got something else there. I look at biometrics as a way to stop a lot of the ankle biters, you know, and people who get in simply through stupidity, you know, and negligence and laziness. That's going to eliminate a lot of it. What it will leave you with is then the people who are truly your real threats, the one who have the capability to figure out how to get past the biometrics, who can figure out how to get past the two-factor authentication. Then that's when the chess game really begins.
Yeah, that is fascinating. And I guess it's just like your home. If you're security conscious, you don't want to get broken into, you have multiple layers of security, including an alarm, lights that automatically come on outside your home, perhaps a dog, and then perhaps a different
nosy
zones.
Neighbor.
Yeah. Right. And nosy neighbors are great. But yeah, so you really need to be thinking about layers of security. And then it just seems that we're always playing catch up here.
We're always fighting, as they say, we're fighting the last war. Case in point, I did after, before 9/11, I was doing work in places like Colombia, Bogota, Colombia, on Plan Colombia. Then after 9/11, I was working in some environments in the military called the counterintelligence field activity. Did some work as we looked at what the threat was. And what amazed me, Kerry, was the fact is that many of these people were fighting the last war. They said, well, let's make cockpits stronger. Well, guys, next threat? The next threat was Abdullah Muttalib, the underwear bomber. The next threat was Richard Reed, the shoe bomber. You know, we've got to forward think these things. What we have here is a failure of imagination. We can't imagine this happening, so we don't prevent against it. But yet, guess what some of the best Hollywood movies are? The ones who suspend reality, suspend belief, and then they create movies that are blockbusters.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's what we need to do. We got to get back to, we can't suffer again, whether it's your personal information, your identity. Thieves are getting better. You know why? Because why does the IRS scam work? Because people get afraid of the IRS. They've been conditioned to fear the IRS. So if somebody says IRS, they don't step back and say, wait a minute, why are you doing this? Because these guys have figured out, hey, guess what? What are you most scared of? The IRS. So I'll call, pretend to be the IRS. I'll get you to give me all the information. And guess what? Mm-hmm. Why does it keep happening? Because it still works.
Amazing. Yeah, you would think that people would be savvy. They'd be wise onto this type of scam. And yet, like you said, it comes up with different iterations, but it's the same basic scam. We're from the government, we're the IRS, we want your money, you owe us money. And it's like, oh my God, what do I do? Or they want to give you money, which is even worse.
Well, the biggest lie is I'm from the government, I'm here to help. But in their case, I'm from the government, I'm here to help you out of your money. And actually the guy who cuts my hair, whose name I will not use, he's an immigrant from another country. Nice guy, but he lost $6,500 to this exact same scam where they called him up.
That's awful.
They got you to fall for a sense of urgency. He's a small business guy, fell for the sense of urgency. Give us the money or we're going to send the sheriff out. Well, number one, the IRS doesn't use the sheriff. We're not a debtor nation. People don't go to prison for not paying taxes. Now, if you're Al Capone, you go to prison for avoiding taxes. But they prey upon people's fear of the thing they fear most, their loss of liberty, their loss of life, a loss of a loved one or something like that. And they are experts at manipulating behavior to get their outcome, which is to separate you from your money. Just like P.T. Barnum says, there's a sucker born every minute. They're out there to find those suckers.
So, Morgan, three things you can do right now to make yourself safer from identity thieves or cyber criminals or whatever.
First thing I would say is quit handing out your social security number like it's Christmas candy. Just say no. No. Refuse to fill in the forms. Ask the questions and say, why do you need this? How do you protect this? Show me the legal rule, the law that says I have to, not that I should, that I have to give it to you. So, you know, protect your information like it's the gold, like it's precious air, like it's the last bit of oxygen in a room. You'll treat it differently. Number two, two-factor authentication. It's free in most places. You can go to a site, Kerry, called two-factor auth.org. That'll list out all the banks, all the places that use two-factor authentication. I'm a huge fan of using Google apps, not an ad for Google. I don't sell anything, no money involved here. But if I can use their apps for anything, for my mail and everything else I do, because I put two-factor on everything I do, Dropbox, Evernote, things like that. So just make sure you do that. And the third thing, you know, one of the biggest things that we are now, I'm getting ready to do a keynote speech to a bank. One of the things I'm talking to them about is business email compromise. We are in last year, 2015, 7,066 victims, a tune of $747 million. That's $105,000 per victim. And guess what? Simply because people fell for the sense of urgency, they reacted to an email or clicked on a link, which either compromised their system or transferred the funds. Slow down, people. Take a breath. This is not Normandy. You're not storming the beaches here. Nobody's going to die. Take a breath and don't be afraid. You know, it's one of those things. Don't stop. Think. Don't click that link. Look what's behind it. Every link is not what it appears to be. So make sure you know exactly what you're doing. And when in doubt, get on the phone with that CEO and say, are you sure you want to authorize $300,000 to go to a bank in China?
Yeah, good idea. Amazing. So this has really been great speaking with you, Morgan. Obviously, I know you're going to want to go to Morgan's site, find out more about this. And Morgan, you have one of the best identity theft blogs out there that I have ever seen. And that's saying something.
Well, thank you, sir.
Hey, I love the articles. It's so timely and you keep it up to date, which we thank you for. How many blogs do you look at? Man, it's like one day every 3 weeks, 18 articles and then nothing. But yours is, you have a lot of good things on there. Highly recommend it. People want to go to your site. Morgan, where's the best place to go?
Identitysecurity.com. So identitysecurity.com. If you go on there, I'm committed to two articles a week. So every Tuesday, every Friday, 8 o'clock in the morning, something new is going to come out. And if you want to hop on there, there's a place where you can register and download for free what I call my identity security guide. Become an identity security warrior. You know, be a Spartan, man. Go on the offensive. Prepare for war against hackers, scammers, and identity thieves. Download my guide, The 12 Do's, The 12 Don'ts. And in that carry, I've got links to audios of actual scams that are going on. I've got video training, other resources. So yeah, just, and it's all free. Just download it and get prepared.
All right. Well, you're now an honorary identity theft warrior, and we'll look forward to having you back on. Morgan, been a total pleasure. Be well.
Kerry, thanks a lot. Stay safe.
This has been another episode of the Identity Theft Warriors. To find out more, go to keepmyid.org and use the code FSN2 to get started now.